is Kimmy Jackson, and this is episode 6 of Make Your Move. We recognize that people are working too hard to avoid those uncomfortable emotions. It's something that we all do. On the Make Your Move podcast, you will gain the skills to become a master listener to the feelings you experience so you can understand the purpose of your emotions, not get stuck in them, and respond to any feeling with the confidence you are meeting your needs and moving forward. So, how's it going, all of my egoless friends out there? There's a lot more of you, your personality, your energy to enjoy now that that ego and its pesky balloons are not floating all around you. So that's a little bit of an inside joke from episode 5A, and all you have to do to be on the inside is pause this episode real quick and learn about the benefit of losing one's ego. It's pretty intriguing stuff. And speaking of intriguing, what about those 5 hindrances to emotional intelligence? Yes, this is it. The much anticipated episode that has taken me very long to get to, where we will start to dissect, break down, even destroy. Too much? Yeah, I think that's too much. Sorry, my 4-year-old was Optimus Prime for Halloween. I'll calm down my Megatron thoughts here, so we can just simply break down the hurdles and screens that have been possibly blocking pieces of emotional intelligence for you. That sounds better. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I just love how it sounds. Emotional intelligence. I always have. I first heard about emotional intelligence from John Gottman. One of his books that I read in graduate school, it was called Raising an Emotionally Intelligent Child, The Heart of Parenting. And that title grabbed me. And I remember thinking all the way back then that that's it. That's what I want to do. There are some people who love talking code, and then there are some people who love watching makeup tutorials. Or there's my nephew who could talk to you about science or animals all day long. Just the other day on our drive home from school, he was telling me all about the different animals who have traveled to space, including fruit flies. I had no clue. So everyone has a passion or passions, unique and energizing. And for me, I felt that passion with emotional intelligence immediately. I knew I wanted to encourage and share and cultivate emotional intelligence for myself, and then share that with families, with couples, with people. And so here I am. Years after graduating, I own a small private practice in Colorado where I currently work part-time so I can be a full-time mommy with my 4 boys. There's Emerson, who recently turned 7. And then there's Tate, who we also call Tater Tot. And he just turned 4. And then Bradley, who just turned 1 back in September. And then Kevin, who is 34. And you can imagine, there's a lot to occupy my mind juggling all those sweet little people and my big person. And even still, what is constantly circling my mind are connections, concepts, and theories that involve and invigorate everything to do with emotional intelligence. But what does that even mean? Oh, what does that mean? It's a classic Saturday Night Live line, and I hope someone out there caught that reference. I need more cowbell, baby. But what does emotional intelligence mean? This marks our first episode where we will examine what I believe to be the 5 main hindrances to emotional intelligence. In order to do this well, I want to first provide for you a working definition of emotional intelligence that fits and makes sense. This is valuable because, second, we're going to discuss why we are missing the mark on emotional intelligence. We all see the value of emotional intelligence, and we know more about the brain, its development, and its complex functions more than ever before. And we strive to teach our younger people principles of emotional intelligence, but then why are we still falling short? as clearly indicated by research from the National Health Institute that continues to show climbing rates of declining thoughts and feelings like depression, anxiety, and suicidality. I know that a clear definition and direction on emotional intelligence will be the game changer. First, the definition. Second, why we missed the mark. And lastly, how do we get it right? As you get to know more and more about me throughout our podcast journey together, there's a defining trait that my husband or friends, even my clients, will tell you about me that is one of my biggest pet peeves. That being wasting people's time. Of course, I love to have fun, but when it comes to work, I'm a get her done kind of person. Why take 20 minutes to sweep and mop the kitchen when I can take 10? I love to eliminate waste, and seeing process become more efficient is so fulfilling. When my husband and I are teaching our own kids household jobs like cleaning windows or making their beds or folding clothes, we will say and then have them repeat back to us, when we do a job, we do a good job. It's not just about saving time. It's about seeing the job through, not wasting time, and doing the job well, so you can feel best about your hard work and so mom and dad don't make you go back and redo your job. In my mind, emotional intelligence works the same way. And why can't it be fun and effective at the same time? There are different processes that flow, cycle, and repeat with our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. And there are helpful and easy to apply methods that improve efficiency and our capabilities. To do this process well, to eliminate waste and those pesky hindrances, we need a clear direction. GPS, for instance, was probably the best invention to ever hit smartphones, right? Okay, well, maybe the internet was slightly a bigger deal, but can anyone else remember getting onto MapQuest, typing in your address of your desired destination, then writing down the directions all before you even got into the car? And how many times have we heard someone say, "I wish someone would just tell me what to do"? Direction is key to decision making. Direction gives purpose, creates intent, and is the key to decision making. When you jump into the driver's seat of a car, almost any car, you know what readings or information needs to be on the dashboard. You know there's a temperature gauge and it shouldn't be running at high or a hot level. You know there's the speedometer and what that means. You also know there's a gas gauge and that the E stands for empty and the F indicates a full tank of gas. So I'm thinking it would be valuable, beneficial, if we had a clear and simple indication of what the mind's dashboard needs to be reading, just like a car. So we have a clear reading that is running and functioning well for us. So let me first read here. If you were to type in emotional intelligence into your Google search bar and dictionary.com was to pop up with its definition, it would say emotional intelligence, the capacity to be aware of, control, and express one's emotions and handle interpersonal relationships judiciously and empathetically. So what's the first word that comes to mind when you hear that definition? Or did maybe a word or two kind of jump out to you? Initially, I think control might jump out at a lot of people. Control is a word that is often avoided. Typically, you'll hear the word control replaced with a word more like manage. For example, in the workplace, you don't have a controller that's over you or bosses you or who controls you or controls your work. You have a manager or a supervisor. Also in this definition, the word judiciously, it's kind of a fancy word, and that caught my attention. And I appreciate that our first definition, that we're introduced to or that Google populates initially involves relationships and encourages people to be both caring and empathic. And I also want to show, just as my opinion, where the problem lies in using this definition as our foundation. So let me read it again here. It says, emotional intelligence, the capacity to be aware of, control, and express one's emotions, and to handle interpersonal relationships judiciously and empathetically. In a basic form, when I'm reading this definition, what I hear is, emotional intelligence is being aware of how you feel and to take care of your relationships. So let me put it this way. If we were to teach people these principles, be aware of how you feel, take care of your relationships, is that going to help us be more efficient in our mental processes? Okay, maybe, maybe not. To an extent, okay, if we teach people to be aware of how you feel and take care of your relationships, does that sound like it's the missing link to decreasing depression rates and building more community? I don't think so. For me, this definition's incomplete. It doesn't give a clear reading of what Mind's dashboard needs to read. This definition, it comes from dictionary.com, and I know we can go to a more perhaps insightful or experienced resource for deeper knowledge on a pretty profound topic. And one of the leading authors in educating on emotional intelligence is a very bright man named Daniel Goleman. Known as both an author and a science journalist, Daniel Goleman has written over a dozen books on emotional intelligence, including books specifically geared towards utilizing emotional intelligence for effective leadership in the workplace. He's been on the New York Times bestseller list. He's gained an award from the American Psychological Association. And I'd like to share Daniel Goleman's working definition of emotional intelligence. And it starts off pretty similar to the first definition that we reviewed. And he shares that emotional intelligence is how well we handle ourselves and our relationships. But then he builds upon this definition by his creating 4 to 5 domains of emotional intelligence, which are, first, self-awareness, second, self-regulation, third, internal motivation, fourth, empathy, and the fifth domain is social skills. And I want to state those again and share a brief definition I gained from an online interview with Daniel Goleman as he was sharing these domains. So first he said self-awareness, and this is me paraphrasing what he had to say about each of these domains. And he said self-awareness is that we know what and why we're feeling what we're feeling. He mentioned that this is the basis of good intuition, good decision-making, moral reasoning. Then he goes on to number 2, self-management, and says that this is all about handling those distressing emotions in an effective way. And I love this, attuning to those emotions when you need to. Because, haha, every emotion has a function. That's when you get those counselor goosebumps. Every emotion has a function. And then next he goes into domain number 3, internal motivation. This is where passion drives behavior, that we're not motivated by just money or material things, but we have a sustained motivation from passion. Then his fourth domain, empathy. Empathy, he simply describes, is knowing what someone else is feeling. Then his fifth domain, social skills, is where Daniel Goleman says that this is where you put all of those pieces together, all of the other domains, in a skilled relationship. And there are a lot of pieces that I connect with, agree with, and really appreciate that Daniel Goleman emphasizes with his definition and domains of emotional intelligence, especially that every emotion has a function. Yay! And I will also say that this involved and introspective and connective definition is likewise incomplete for me. Here, there's a lot of focus on self, then to relationships. And again, we don't hear a clear guide of what is occupying mind or what mind is reading, like the gas gauge of our car. I have read multiple definitions of emotional intelligence, descriptions of how the brain works, how it develops, and with each definition, two things become very clear to me. One, I am still nowhere, anywhere close to being an expert. And two, we have a lot of mixed messages floating around. And after attending a conference and a training this last summer in a new therapy called Rapid Resolution Therapy, I was inspired to hone in and write what I believe emotional intelligence to be. I had a few intentional goals as I began this task, and above all, I wanted anyone reading it to simply know what qualities determine or produce or signify an emotionally intelligent mind. F means full, E means empty. So what I have to share with you is my working definition of emotional intelligence. And I think it's okay to call it a work in progress. And so what I have is emotional intelligence is an awareness of how the mind works. And as emotions, thoughts, and behaviors communicate with one another, mind is present, aware of, and can clear distractions and occupy only what has value and is available for connection and compassion. All right, so let's go back to my intentional goal. F is full and E is empty. Here we have an emotionally intelligent person, which means they have a knowledge of how the mind works. Their mind is present, understands, and can clear distractions, so they're available for what has value to them, including connection and compassion. So I thought it would be helpful to talk about how this definition that I've built is different than the mainstream definitions of emotional intelligence, and what I believe and expect an emotionally intelligent person is, first, that they're educated about the mind and that there is less emphasis on self-awareness. And I'm not saying that they need to know and be able to distinguish all the differences, or specifically what's the difference between the occipital lobe and the temporal lobe. Like, that's not what I mean. For an individual to have a good dental hygiene, I don't think it's necessary for them to know what bruxism is, or what the distal of a tooth is, or be able to explain the process of equilibration. I didn't even say that right. Now, that's what experts and specialists are for. But good dental hygiene would entail a basic knowledge to maintain health, like brushing and flossing daily, so the sugar bugs don't make holes in your teeth. Those are cavities. I've learned a lot at my kids' dentist appointments. But also a difference in the definition that I've built compared to mainstream definitions is that there's an emphasis on emotions, thoughts, and behaviors. You all know that I love emotions. Hello, emotional intelligence. And with that said, mind does not only create, organize, and direct emotions alone. we need to include thoughts and feelings and especially behaviors. You can think thoughts and feel all those feels, but what are you doing with them? Thoughts and feelings drive action. That's their main directive. All right, so another difference is this definition points out functioning in the present. You need to give people a clear direction because our minds are equipped with imagination, guilt, sadness to depression, ambition, daydreaming. They are so capable of carrying us away from the present, which is incredible and probably why we have such inventive film producers like Tim Burton. And as mind is capable of transcending the present, mind also needs to be aware and capable to attune and be present and clear distractions. Distractions can be thought of as anything that takes you away, your thoughts, your feelings, your energies from the present, shuts you down or moves you away from what has value. That can be stress, fear, worry, anger, sadness, self-doubt. Now, can these emotions or occurrences also have value and significance and bring energy present? Absolutely. And an emotionally intelligent mind can quickly distinguish the difference. As we talk about a working definition of emotional intelligence that is simple and gives a clear reading of what mind is occupying, the intention here is to eliminate confusion, because that is where we have gone wrong. You know, some people like to be confused. They love running through corn mazes, or confused to the point of even being disoriented, like squirrel cages at the county fair. No, thank you. Actually, in Colorado, where I live, there is one of the country's largest water parks, Water World. At least, that's what their very outdated website says. Who knows? But anyway, at Water World, there's a ride called the Space Bowl. And my kids and niece and nephews, we all like to call it the Toilet Bowl because that's exactly what it looks like. A ginormous orange toilet bowl. And I wasn't pregnant this last summer, so I thought I would try the toilet space bowl for the first time with my oldest nephew. And, you know, it didn't take very long for me to remember that I don't particularly enjoy being disoriented. Nope, not at all. And this ride starts off like any normal water slide. I slid through a long, steepish tube, and then, after I came shooting out of the tube, I began to swirl around the wide toilet bowl, which felt like slow motion compared to the tube I just came launching out of. So I swirled around this toilet bowl until I eventually fell through the giant hole. Right, because toilet bowls have holes. It all makes sense. Okay, so I fell through this large hole that can possibly drop or even flip you. I was flipped, lucky me, into a deep tank of water that sits below the toilet space bowl. And this tank is more than 10 feet deep. I think it was 14, but I can't quite remember. And because I was flipped, I continued to twist and flip until I was able to figure out which way was up and which way I could breathe again. So that seemed to take forever. And as a review, I would say I really didn't like that ride. Moral of the story, some of us like to be confused. Maybe you want to try the mystery meat at lunch, but just so we're all clear, that's not me. Go ahead and call me boring, but that's not me. And much like the toilet space bowl, I feel as though this same confusion has infiltrated emotional intelligence. There are various theories and definitions that are constantly competing for your attention, driving to teach skills and instill beliefs. Anything from there's a caveman part of your brain, and it also holds vital functions. Don't be emotional. Your emotions will play tricks on you. But be intuitive and listen to your feelings. Be relational. Be your own person. Anger is productive. Anger is destructive. Be confident. Be secure. Be fluid. Be friendly. Give people the benefit of the doubt, but don't be too trusting. Be tough. Don't show your weaknesses. Embrace vulnerability. Prozac, an antidepressant medication, is considered safe and effective, and its adverse effects include risk of suicidal thoughts for younger people. Yes, I understand these examples are very concise, and they are simply meant to just demonstrate the excessive chatter we hear begging to steer our ears in all different directions. And as much as we are more knowledgeable than we ever have been regarding the brain and its functions, we are also more susceptible to opposing research and more vulnerable to swaying opinions than we have ever been before. They don't just pop up in our emails or appear as we daily scroll our social media. It's in our ears, just like this podcast. Influence is stronger, more powerful, and more distracting than ever before. It's in your head, which for me gives me all the reason to clearly understand what emotional intelligence really is. So I am intentional to be present, to pinpoint and clear distractions, including subtle and intrusive influences, so that my mind will occupy what has value for me. And I am available for that value, including connection and compassion. We have shared a working definition of emotional intelligence, compared and contrasted to mainstream definitions. We've discussed how close confusion and distraction can influence our understanding of emotional intelligence. So where do we go from here? First, we need to ensure and establish a basic and accurate knowledge of how the mind works. In order to do this, to be most efficient, I think it needs to be presented in a way that you can explain and teach it to a young child. Thankfully, Dan Siegel, who is a clinical professor at UCLA, has created an easy-to-learn model called the Hand Model that you can find on YouTube as a guide to teaching a young child about how the mind works. Just remember, Dan Siegel, Hand Model, YouTube, easy to find. There is also a helpful video created by the YouTube channel Kids Want to Know that takes Dan Siegel's model and in an interactive format teaches about the downstairs and upstairs brain all using the hand model. Now, these videos are both recommendations, and the plan is that as you watch them, decide whether or not they have value to you. You may have found another resource, basic or much more in-depth, that has provided knowledge of how mind works that has value to you. And that is fantastic. Remember, emotional intelligence isn't me telling you or someone else instructing you what to do, what to use, what to believe. It's about what has value to you and keeps you moving forward. Just remember, everything on the internet is true. And we all know that that statement didn't have any value whatsoever. No, check your sources and remember the difference between fact versus opinion. Calling out the confusion and providing a new, clear direction of emotional intelligence breaks down that first hindrance to emotional intelligence. And then, with this guide, and gaining an understanding of how the mind works and recognizing what has value to you leads us right into hindrance number two. Are you ready? Eliminating distractions that take us away from being present. And that's what you have to look forward to on our next episode. And until then, I hope that you make it a great day, and I'll catch you all next time. Thanks so much for being here. Bye.